baptized with the Holy Spirit, this is the time you can be baptized today. If you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, He is the top person in God. You have only one God, Elohim, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work of strengthening believers, living in us as the Paraclete, one that is called alongside to help us in our Christian journey. And without Him, we fall by the wayside. We need His presence. He's the revealer of the intents. He's the revealer of the mind of the Father. He takes from Jesus and shows it to us. You need Him. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you just need is simple faith and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit you have given before you left. Holy Spirit, I invite you, take full possession. Take full possession of this temple. Dwell in me richly. Today, I surrender the lordship, the control of my life unto you, Holy Spirit. Just pray that prayer and just keep expecting this morning. And we baptize you this morning. Jesus said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yes. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not be bold to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not be bold to carry out what God as prepare for you. You'll be afraid, you know, so many things will be happening. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it will not only dwell in you, it will reveal things, it will teach you the way, He's the instructor, it will teach you the Word of God, we explain the Word of God unto you. So you have not been baptized, you can ask Him, Holy Spirit, I have room for you. Touch me. As I sat down, I was standing there later, I sat down, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fire in my inner man, fire from my belly up to my chest. I want to let you know that He's here already. He's here before we came here. So if you want to have Him, simply invite Him. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you want to be healed, we can pray a prayer of faith this moment. Any sickness, any ailment, any disease. The Bible says by His stripes, you were healed. By His stripes, the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Any kind of sickness. That word God gave me there is that I've heard the cries of my children this morning. God said He has heard your cries. He has listened to your cry. Those things that words could not even bring out, but tears brought them out. God says, I heard them and I knew everything. And if He has heard you and He knew all that you are going through, be rest assured that your case is in safe hands. He's doing something about it. You will return with testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wait on you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We adore you, Holy Spirit. We adore you, Holy Spirit. We praise your name, Holy Spirit. We praise your name, Holy Spirit. We adore you, 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 yes. Holy Spirit, we praise your name. Holy Spirit, we praise your name. Holy Spirit, Alabasata, we praise your name. Holy Spirit, we praise your name. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit. Reboskata, mandariana masike tubosh. Li kipa pramozunto, kibarabashata ya. Li ko pramazanta, ikelebo kambarabashiti ya ba. And when he has called the 70 unto himself, he gave them power to drive out evil spirit,
yes,
to cast out demons, and to cleanse the lepers. Oh, mighty Father, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you are doing in this end time. Thank you at this very moment. Thank you for healings. Thank you, Lord, for healings. Lord, you pray that out in the prayer room through a vessel. All kinds of ailment, all kinds of disease, emotional, psychological, matrimonial, social, educational. Father, mental, all kinds of disease this morning. We take hold of the blood of Jesus. We take hold of the blood of Jesus. We speak to every infirmity. We speak to every ailment. I speak and I command by the blood of the Lamb. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every ailment, every disease, wherever you are hiding, it is written, they shall hear the word and with fearfulness they shall run away from their hiding places. It is written, any tree that my Father in heaven has not planted shall be uprooted by the taproot. So this very day is the day appointed by God that you should cease to live in that body. So in the name of Jesus, whether you are watching us online or on ground, we speak the word of faith into your life right now. He sent forth his word, and his word healed them, and he delivered them from their destruction. In the mighty name of Jesus, every infirmity, of the blood, of the mind, of the marrow, of the kidney, of the liver. In the mighty name of Jesus, get out. Amen. Out in the name of Jesus. We declare total healings upon you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are just, oh God, your mouthpiece. You are the one that heals. You are the one that delivers this morning. So our faith anchors on you. So this morning, Lord, every baggage, anything, oh God, operating in the body of your children that ought not to be there, you have overstayed. Your time has expired. So get out in the name of Jesus. Receive healings now in your mind, in your soul, in your body, in your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Receive sound health. Receive sound mind. Receive sound body. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Whatever your name is called, the Lord God Almighty is against you. For you are afflicting the people of God. Their bodies, those bodies, they are the temple of the living God. God wants to be glorified through that temple. Therefore, you must live now. And as you're getting out, never enter into anyone. Go to the depth of the sea in the name of Jesus. I command freedom. I command that you begin to experience your freedom and liberty in the name of Jesus. And what you have not been able to do before, begin to do them in the name of Jesus. Every ache is gone in the name of Jesus. Every pain is gone in the name of Jesus. Every derangement is gone in the name of Jesus. Every malfunctioning of the kidney, of the liver, of the pancreas is gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. Thank you, Father, for hearing the cries of your children. Father, the only one that can hear and that can interpret tears is you. I thank you. Because, Lord, you have heard. I know you are doing something. Lord, there will be testimony. Glory, honor to your name. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One or two points of maybe maximum three that will help us as we pray during the week. What the Lord dropped in my heart to share with us is obstacles to faith. Obstacles that stands on our way to exercise our faith. Obstacles. James said in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. And of course, we know what definition of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. Well, 1 is the definition, verse 6 says that no one can please God without faith. Verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see it. We are hoping for something we don't see. But it says faith give it to you. Faith is saying this is it. And verse 6 says that, for it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. Yes. For whoever must come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But then, faith has enemies. Faith has enemies. And the work of the enemy, which is number one we are looking at here now, it's not just the devil. We are looking at some things that will obstruct our faith from being exercised. Because without faith, we cannot please God. And what the Lord has spoken in prayers through a vessel, through, you know, there have been various ways this morning. I want us to know that as you believe God that healing has taken place, you believe God for it, surely it will happen. But then things that make our faith or weaken our faith, these are referred to as obstacles, and they are enemies of faith. Because we can't please God without faith. So if there are things that is weakening or that will hinder our faith from being exercised, that is the enemy that is standing between us, between you, between me, and our miracles, our breakthrough. So as believers, we are in the real world with real challenges. And those challenges, they are challenging our faith. Alright? And so we must take a bold step by identifying those challenges or those obstacles and make sure that we put them out of the way so that our faith, you know, can anchor on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that all that He has spoken, all we have read, we'll be able to have them. God is not a man. If He has spoken, if He has given, He wants us to receive. But whatever is keeping us from receiving or from having them, there must be a barrier. The first thing there is unbelief. Unbelief is one of the major obstacles to our exercising of faith. Obstacles. Number one is unbelief. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 20, we have the case of the disciples. 19 to 20, disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" That is demon. Why couldn't we cast out those demons? They brought a boy that was epileptic to them while Jesus was away, and they could do nothing. Maybe they cried, or they cried and they shouted, and well, this is how Jesus usually do it, and they did everything, nothing happened. So Jesus came, met them, you know, sweating, and Jesus just rebuked the demon, and the demon left. So they came to him privately. Why couldn't we cast out? Why couldn't we cast out that demon? Jesus replied them. So Jesus said to them, verse 20, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, amen, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Unbelief. believe means I can't trust. Inability to trust. Inability to trust God for who he is. According to Hebrews 11, whoever must come to him must believe that he is. Who is God? He's the healer. He's the creator. He's everything. He's the beginning. He's the end. But oftentimes we accept that in our minds, but it's not there in our heart. The one word, we believe that in our mind, but because of unbelief when it comes to exercising, we do not trust. Oh, it's God. Yeah, he created everything, but, you know, I'm not sure he's ready to handle this kind of thing. We do not trust him with everything else. That is unbelief. You know the story of Samaria, when there was great famine, and the famine was so much, the devastation was so much, they were eating their, you know, eating children, their own children. And the word of God came, God sent the man of God, Elisha, to declare the word. So he stood and made declaration in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. He said, thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow, and he declared it. Let's put what we know here. A bag of rice will be sold for $1. And a bag of flour will be sold for 50 cents at the gate of Samaria. 24 hours. So the advisor to the king said, look, if God will make windows in heaven, you think that will happen? It's not possible. Because you are talking about 24-hour window, 24 hours. The devastation is so much that people are eating up. They become cannibals. So within 24 hours, there's going to be a revival. There's going to be so much supply that there will be surplus. Say, God cannot do that. Even if he opens a window in heaven. That is, I can't trust your God to do that. I can't trust God to do that in 24 hours. And the man of God said, okay, you will see with your eyes, but you're not going to eat out of it. And it did happen. Unbelief. Another obstacle to our exercising our faith is doubt. It's like unbelief, but doubt is having a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. You'll be believing, after a while, well, there's no certainty there that it will happen. Oh, I think I'm healed. But then, but the symptom is still there. It's like, you know, I'm still having the symptom. That is doubt. You have believed initially, and don't listen to whatever, whether symptom or anything. When you believe God for the impossible, you believe to the end. Even when the symptom still shows. Because it is the faith that will do what? That will bring about the totality. Some breakthroughs are immediate, some are gradual. Some healings are immediate, some are gradual. So, you don't believe at a time, or you trust at a time, and then later on doubt. You know the story of Peter? The disciples in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had told them, let us cross, or you cross to the other side, while he sent the crowd away. And after sending the crowd away, he went to the mountain to pray. And after some hours, he discovered in the spirit that the wind had been so contrary to them. And so Jesus, being God in the flesh, decided to work on what had been troubling them. So he came walking on the sea, because the sea had been against, this wind that had been against them, and it was like their ship was about, their canoe was about to capsize, whatever it is. Alright? And they have tried everything. They used all their techniques as fishermen. Some of them are fishermen. They couldn't bring it to the shore. So now they saw someone walking on the sea. So they now feared. This must be a ghost. On top of all this trouble we are having. And so, because of the fear, Jesus said, fear not, it is I. And then Peter said, okay, if it is you, command me to come on the water too. Matthew 14:28 to 31, because of our time. Jesus commanded him to come. And so, he stepped out, began to walk on the sea like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And after a while, the Bible says, you know, when he took away his eyes from Jesus, he was now looking at the boisterous wind. He began to sink. There's a message for you this morning. What troubles you? What makes you to be fearful? Jesus came today walking over them. Jesus came walking over your fears. Because that is who he is. He's caring. He's a sheep shepherd. He knows you. Even the unmentioned issues. Issues you could not even voice out. He came walking on them this morning. He came because he knows you need help. He will not abandon you in the midst of the ocean facing turbulence. He came walking towards you like he did to the disciples. He's a caring God. Hallelujah. And when Peter was now sinking, he cried out, Lord, save me. Save me. You know, he cried out for help. Jesus reached out to him and lifted him up. And what Jesus told him was, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hands and caught him and said unto him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Mm-hmm. You've been believing. I don't know how many steps he took. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 50 steps before he got to Jesus. And then suddenly he began to sink. Mm-hmm. We have been believing, trusting God. Oh God, you are the answer. Yes, and God has been doing that. All of a sudden, we turn our eyes away from him. Because that is the way the enemy of our soul operates. He uses all these. He uses doubt. He makes us to look, focus, fix our gaze on the things that we see around us, the boisterous wind, look at the markets, look at the pandemic, look at situations surrounding the nations. The whole world is going to sink. And of course, because of what we are going through. But don't forget, if you're in that boat, and Jesus said, let's cross to the other side of the sea. People might sink, but not you. People might sink, but not the boat you are in. Because that boat is under instruction. Jesus said to the disciple, cross to the other side. So if boat will sink, it's not going to be that boat. So if you are in the boat that Jesus has released or Jesus has commanded you, you are in that boat. You are in Christ. Mm. Even though people are perishing outside there, even though people are sinking, you are not going to sink. And we've been believing that all of a sudden, doubt comes in. Wow. If Jesus is going to do it, he's working on it, and how come this? How come that? How come this? Like, disaster, our problem is getting closer. And when that comes in, if we do not have enough faith to negate it, to cut it off, doubt will come in. And when doubt comes in, there is a shipwrecking of our faith. I pray that the Lord will give us. There are about 7 or 8 points. I'm not going to go into all of them. Let me just mention the third one, and then we pray. Amen. Another obstacle to our not being able to exercise our faith is divine delays. I use the word divine because there are other delays caused by human, by demons, by forces of darkness. Those ones can be taken care of by the Lord, when you cry to him. But when it is divine delays, you fasted, you prayed, you read the word of God, you did vigil, personal vigil, corporate vigil, you do all kinds, people joined you and nothing seems to change. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but you did that of my brother, my sister, and we just prayed and God answered, how come I? There's a divine delay. John chapter 11. The friend of Jesus, Lazarus, was sick, and they sent a message to Jesus, "Your friend, whom you love, is sick." And he said, "Okay, I'm coming. I'm coming to heal him." And he yet delayed 4 days. Why? Only he can explain that. Only God, only Jesus can explain that. But we all know what happened from the scripture in John chapter 11, that eventually when Jesus got to them, people have been weeping, crying, because Lazarus already, not only that he was dead, but he had been buried. So Jesus met people mourning, Mary and Martha mourning their brother, and he came. In verse 28, let me jump to 32 because of the time. John 11, 32. "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" You came too late. You did not come when the opportunity was there. Now the door is closed. He's dead. He's buried. You came too late. And Jesus told her, you know, he already said in the, you know, verse 25, that I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live again. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what Jesus had told Martha before going to call Mary. So now, it means they have been sharing this unbelief that when Jesus came too late, nothing is going to happen again. But later on in verse 39, Jesus, because he already asked, "Where have you laid him?" He showed him. He got there at the tomb and he said, "Roll away the stone." Mm-hmm. "Roll away the stone." And the reply was, "By now is what? Lord, by this time there is a stench." Mm-hmm. "By this time there is a stench." Brethren, why would God wait until there is a stench? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is God so bad? Is Jesus so uncaring, unloving, not knowing that if Lazarus dies, that is going to affect this family that he loves so much? He knows all this. That is why he came in human flesh, to test what we are going through. He knew all that. But look, for the glory of God to be shown, there are levels and levels of glory of God and manifestation of the glory of God. For the glory of God to be manifested, to be shown this time around in the life of Lazarus, that glory must come not when he is healed out of that disease, but when he's dead, not only dead, but buried 4 days. Mm-hmm. And they're extinct. That is when the glory of God will manifest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't wait until there is a stench. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we won't tell God, "Lord, there is a stench now. You waited too long. Mm-hmm. Now people are mocking me. Now people are saying, look, they are going again, Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. Now, Mama Church, our brother church, it's every time, Bible, Bible, we can't see the outcome of your faith. There are mockers. There is a stench." Wonder, why has God waited this long, this far? God wants to be glorified. Mm-hmm. And the glory that is going to come is going to be such that every heart, not only will see, but everyone will glorify God on your behalf. It's not going to, it's not going to be ordinary healing. It's not going to be ordinary thought. It's going to be life coming into deadness. You are converting death into life. Bringing what has been stilled, what has been lifeless. It could be your job. It could be your marriage. It could be your destiny. It could be anything that has been dead. No life in it. There's no sign that anything is moving. And there is a stench. Bills are piling. You know, you are wondering, "Lord, when will you intervene? Why this waiting?" God wants to show forth His glory. And the glory shine forth more when there's His stench. And suddenly, when the power of the Most High God, you know, falls upon that which is lifeless, that which has no hope, that which there is no future, that which everyone has written off. And when the power of God comes upon it, there is a transformation, there is a change, there is a story to tell, not only you telling story, people saw it, they knew it, that God changed that marriage, God did something extraordinary, God healed you, God gave you that job, God gave you that promotion, that God gave you your husband or your wife. It's miraculous. It will bring glory to His name. Mm-hmm. Even though there is a stench, it's going to do the unusual. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's going to do the unusual so that the name of God be glorified in your life. Don't forget, He will not leave you as orphans. He will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to stop there. There are other points, but because of our time, but let me just say what to do in order to overcome obstacles to faith. One, inject more of the Word of God in you. Injection of the Word. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Meditation on the Word of God is number two. Philippians 4:8. Don't just meditate on anything trash. Meditate on those things that are pure, that are honest, that are good, with good reports. Anything good to write home about in the Word of God. That's what you meditate upon. In fact, all scripture, they are good. What I'm saying is that don't just begin to hear it. You know what's going on now? If you hear anybody telling you something, story that will not edify you, please cut off. Cut off. Because they will pollute your mind, they will pollute your spirit, man. You will not be strong. Then you will become, it's just like somebody, when somebody's immune system is not strong, you can easily catch disease. When your spiritual immunity is not strong enough, you can be attacked by the enemy. So when you begin to inject all kinds of nonsense, rubbish, and you are hearing them, and you are welcoming them, and you are celebrating it, and you have room for it, the devil will bring more. Jesus. Before you know what's happening, you are cut off. And you are attacked because you are being a vessel. So meditate on everything that is good. In the Word of God, good testimonies, good things happen around you. Be a reporter of things that is good. Yeah. Tell good stories. About people, don't kill them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It means pray without ceasing. In the kitchen, in the bathroom. I shout more when I'm taking my bath. I shout more in the spirit. Alright, pray anytime. And when I'm driving too. Speak in tongues and shout and
Amen.
So please. Prayer is the number three. Number four, I was going to say this. This number four, I'm going to mention here, you know, is the answer to number eight problem, which is an obstacle. The obstacle number eight is inaction. Inaction is obstacle number eight. I'm not going to, but the answer here is an action. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, as I conclude now, Hebrews 2 verse 1, what does it say? Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. There could be a drifting away from the Lord, from the truth, from the path of righteousness, if we do not give earnest heed to the things we hear. If we do not give earnest heed to the Word of God that we are hearing from time to time, we must take action. The one you read, and God is saying, I've healed you, and you do not take action. You will drift away from what the Lord has spoken or what the Word of God has spoken because you are listening to symptoms. So you must take heed, take action. If God says you are healed, you are healed. If your body is telling you something, tell the body you are doing the wrong thing. You are not supposed to listen to pain or to sickness or to whatever it is. And we keep on speaking. We keep on. There's no time to go into that, but we are going to handle that in our own fellowship. Hallelujah. Amen. We're talking much about faith in our own fellowship. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Ancient of this, we give you praise. We give you honor, for you are God. Lord, we do not know how to really walk with you, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We ask, oh God, that you we walk by faith, not by human sight. We ask, oh God, that you will energize our faith as we look into your word, as we pray, as we meditate on your word. Father, as we begin to take Lord's steps, Father, believe in you for those things, trust in you for those things, even according to the word of God about Abraham, he who contrary to hope, but in hope, still believe God. Lord, the steps he took were steps of hope, even though everything about him was contrary to hope. 25 years, no child. Lord, help us. Help us, oh God. Those who had gone before us, they went through this same turbulence. In fact, their home might be a different one because of the generation they were in. Whatever, oh God, the turbulence, the challenges that we find in our world today, but Lord, we are so privileged that we are alive and you have called us into fellowship with you. And that means if you help those who are gone, you have the same power to help, Lord, those of us alive today. So we anchor our faith in you. We trust you and we believe in you. And we say, Lord, because you are the only God. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the word of life. Lord, if you will not do it, no one can do it. No one. The only one that created everything out of nothing is you, God. The devil is not a creator. He did not create anything. He's a converter. Wicked converter. Convert things that God has made into wicked, vessels. Into wicked vessels, weapons that he uses against humanity. Lord, it's only you that have created. And you have given us the power that we can also speak some things into existence because you have deposited your spirit in us. When we speak by faith and we Lord stand by it, things are created. Jesus. It's not given to the devil. It's not given to demons. They are only good in stealing, killing, and destroying. Yes. Lord, the ability to make things alive, to cause things that are dead to come alive is in you. And you have given us that power to demonstrate in your church. And so, Lord, thank you. We call forth today the destinies of your children. We call forth, oh God, their rights. We call forth all that belongs to the people of God. And we call forth that, Lord, we begin to generate the faith that is needed for us to walk faithfully and honestly before the Lord. As we search your word, as we dwell in your word, as we meditate in your word, as we pray and we take actions. Help us, Lord. May we not be the hearers or the speaker only. Make us doers of your word. Make us benefit from this you have shared with us today. Thank you, Father. I declare your people blessed today. I declare that your people are blessed. Lord, they do well under your favor. The favor of heaven has come upon them. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I decree that every door shut against you is opened. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Together, we are celebrating the goodness, and we are in the season of that favor and the goodness of the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. Amen. Take all the glory and all the honor. Yes. We have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.